This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Special day, special time, special game. Super Bowl 53. Ken Carmen, I love you. Thank you for allowing me to occupy your space today. Ken will get up early tomorrow morning. Curse me out as he brushes his teeth, and he'll be back at his normal slot next week. But it's our Super Bowl 53 special coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way, providing a seamless mortgage experience. Folks, the Super Bowl is here. We have finally gotten to the time when another NFL season rounds to a close. And it has been a spectacular Super Bowl week here in Atlanta. And if you listen to the show on Sunday mornings, John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio, if your local affiliate carries it, hopefully it does. If you listen on SiriusXM 206, the radio.com app, CBS Sports app, there's so many different ways to consume the program. If you listen, you know that I am a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. So this day is a little melancholy for me, because it's the first time in my life that I've gotten to enjoy a year as a Super Bowl championship fan. And it's been everything I thought it would be and more. It's been better than I ever expected. The feeling of seeing your team win a Super Bowl was better than anybody ever even told me it was going to be. As a sports fan, I allow myself to be an absolute dork, and I'm a dork. Ask anybody who works with me. I've got a lot of dorkish qualities. My own daughter calls me Sheldon sometimes, a reference to the character from The Big Bang Theory. She says, "Dad, you're like Sheldon, for gosh sakes." I can tell you that the Eagles are the only team that, as a fan, I allow myself to be a total dork for. Geek, total passion, total fandom. But I still keep my objectivity. I critique them when they're bad. I celebrate them when they're good. And the Phillies are the other team that I allowed myself to have that great, great passion for. I like the Sixers, but I don't live and die with them. This has been a spectacular year. And tomorrow, two other fan bases have a chance to enjoy that feeling. One of them should absolutely be in rehab from overdosing on parades and joy and celebrations. And that's the New England Patriot fans out there. And one of them is a fan base that I don't even know if it's legitimate to call them a fan base. So I was thinking to myself, if the Rams win tomorrow night, where's the joy going to be in the streets of Los Angeles? Where have all the horrible losses of the past piled up that all get washed away with a feeling of joy like I had last year when Merrill Reese, the voice of the Eagles, screamed, "The Eagles were Super Bowl champions." That's not happening in LA. And if it's happening in New England area, in the state of Massachusetts, I don't believe their fans will be ho-hum. That's not the way they are. They're not going to be like, "Oh yeah, another championship." Some of them like to act like absolute jerks and do that just to rub it in the faces of others. But they've got fans that have really jumped on board and been a big part of the ride. They're going to enjoy the joy. They're going to enjoy the passion. But it won't mean the same. But I'm saying, what's it going to mean to Rams fans? And I'm thinking, what's it going to mean to the people in St. Louis who saw the Rams bolt town? And St. Louis is a city that never should have lost their NFL team. There are other cities that if they lose an NFL team, I certainly won't dance on the grave. But I wouldn't be in any way saying, yeah, they deserve it. There's some cities that deserve it, since St. Louis did not. And the Rams fans, their stadium gets overtaken by Eagle fans, by Bear fans, whatever it is, whoever comes in. I saw Falcon fans taking over last year during the playoffs a year ago. It's a challenge to build a team, to build a fan base, to survive the horrible losses, to live through the agony of defeat. And for Ram fans, unless you were original Ram fans from a time, I'm having a hard time identifying with you. But Atlanta is not. Where this game is being played, Atlanta is not. I work at a proud station, home of the John Kincaid Show, here on CBS Sports Radio, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. And we were 680 The Ram all week. We were 680 The Ram. There's a lot of reasons for that. We'll talk about that coming up. But everybody here rooting for the Rams, wanting to see the Rams. I want to tell you that our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by our friends at Geico, and I got great news for you. You want to switch and save money? Well, make the switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Had a big Friday night. I've had a big week. It's been great. There have been a lot of parties go on in Atlanta, you know, in every Super Bowl city. Being in your own town, you get invited to a lot of stuff. I have worked a lot of corporate events where I've emceed some events with ex-NFL players and current NFL players. That's been a lot of fun. But last night was an experience like no other. It was Shaq's Funhouse. And I pride myself on, even though in many ways I've gotten older, but I pride myself on trying to, in desperate fashion, not allow myself to mentally age, because I watch my mom at 89 and she's thriving. She still is thriving. Even after a stroke last year, she came right through it. She's still thriving. She's still got her mind. She still has her heart. She still has her passions. So I'm aspiring to be like her as I age. But I do a podcast with Shaquille O'Neal. He's a co-star on it. You know, I've helped to raise his brand a little bit. And last night we had Shaq's Funhouse here in Atlanta. In fact, we had it right here where my studios are in Atlanta, right here at the Battery, where the Braves SunTrust Park is. Dude, I feel old this morning. Man, I'm thinking to myself, why are people are partying at 1 in the morning, 1:30 in the morning? I couldn't make that. I had to be up this morning for a 10 o'clock Eastern time national radio show. I'm so impressed with you young people that can eat, drink, and be merry till all hours of the morning. And there was Dr. Oz riding a merry-go-round at one point, and so I can only tell you there may have been hallucinogenic stuff in the Krispy Kremes that Shaq was peddling around. It was awesome. Awesome. And fun events all over town. I got Bruno Mars tonight and Cardi B. Yeah. Tried to get Cardi to be on the show today. She said, nah, Cardi tonight, yeah. And Bruno Mars, Cardi and I hang out here in Atlanta. If you don't know, we hang out sometimes. We get together. I look at the two teams as they've shown up here for Super Bowl, though. And I look at how they both got here. And the greatness of the Patriots, and how the Patriots just stayed the course to be here. And how they continually, yeah, if you're looking for a Super Bowl special that's going to be hating on the Patriots, this isn't the one. This isn't the one. I got too much respect for them. Even last year when the Eagles were going up against them, too much respect for the Patriots' greatness. And I love how they stayed the course to get here. How they stay true to themselves, how they stay true to their plan, how they stay true to their blueprint of how to have sustained excellence. How they've got a leader at the top and a leader in the huddle who sustain excellence. And I look at Tom Brady and I say, okay, sustained excellence, but he also reinvents. Because Tom Brady was the biggest stick in the mud, boring, like, blech, as far as entertainment value of arguably any big star in any sport. But Tom's having more fun. Tom's goofing around. Tom has let some of Gronk's energy and excitement rub off on him a little bit. It's fun to see, and I admire it. And I admire his sustained excellence. I admire his dedication to his craft. I admire the fact that he's found ways to sort of keep reinventing himself a little bit. But you know what else I also admire? Something that I don't tend to do in my own DNA. I'm not a gambler, and I love Vegas, as you well know. I usually do this show from Las Vegas. And Vegas, I will return next year. I swear to you, God willing, I will be there. I love you. Couldn't this year with the game being in my hometown of Atlanta here. But something I don't do in my personal life is something the Rams did this year. They sensed that last year when they lost in the wild card round in a home game after winning the division, they sensed that they were somewhat close. And they went out and decided to roll the dice. They went out and decided to make some aggressive trades. They went out and said, you know what? With a strategic move here and a strategic move there and an Ndamukong Suh and we make a deal here, we go for it. I'm a stay the course guy. The way the Patriots have sustained success is what I aspire to do. And their excellence is pretty much unmatched in any industry, in any field. It's awesome. And it's incredible to watch. But what the Rams did, I also admire too, because it's not in my DNA to do that. To say, you know what? Okay, let me take two or three risks here to try to win big. No, I'm more of a stay the course guy. Steady Eddie. Very dependable. Here's what you can count on. Here's how I'm going to do things. I admire how both these teams got here. I'm much more comfortable with the way that the Patriots got there. But what the Rams did, it's bold, it's aggressive, it's young. I know their general manager personally. I've known Les Snead since he was an intern in the NFL. Since he was serving an internship, it's the first time I ever met him and shook his hand. I'm so proud of him and what he's accomplished. And to see a guy like Sean McVay aspire for greatness and deliver it, it's awesome. But ladies and gentlemen, you got to slay the dragon. You want to be up there on the Pantheon of the Parthenon? Pantheon. That's like a virus. You want to be up there with the greats of all time. You got to beat him. And Brady and Belichick are there waiting for you. We have lots of people who are going to stop by and give you insights and ideas and passion and opinions on the Super Bowl. And I hope you're going to stick with me as much as you can through the next 3 hours and 45 minutes. And coming up first, I got one of the best numbers guys you've ever heard from in the NFL. His name's Front Office Los. If you haven't heard from him before, Carlos Medina, Front Office Los on Twitter. And I can promise you, he's got some numbers that are going to make you believe or disbelieve in what you already think about Super Bowl 53. That's next. It's the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl special here on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
If more people embrace their inner oddball, it would be true, but I'm really not that odd. I don't have that many idiosyncrasies and everything. I can prove it as a guy I work with every day in Atlanta, Georgia, who you know on the internet is Front Office Los, frontofficefootball.net, Carlos Medina, frequent guest on the network, joins us now on the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl special live from Atlanta. But this segment, before we start, I was asking DIB, Tom running the show, if he had administered a breathalyzer to our guest, because I know that he was in the funhouse, and I'm seeing photographic evidence. He was at Shaq's funhouse late last night. So I'm wondering, do we need a breathalyzer for this segment?
I think we're going to be okay on this particular one, but I will say this. I did try and drink all the vodka in Atlanta last night, and I am paying for it, just as I'm sure you're paying for it too.
Was it the craziest setup you've ever seen? That Shaq's funhouse. I was telling the audience a little bit about it earlier.
It was incredible. And in fact, I guess the wild part about it was that being it right next to the Atlanta Braves stadium, I was very curious how they were going to make it into what would feel like one particular area. And they basically changed all the signage. They changed everything. You walked in there and you felt like I was at one event, all centered around all the acts and Shaq. It was really a great night.
All right, now, so we got the Patriots and the Rams. And I started out in a little monologue this morning just about I admire how both teams got here, how the Patriots sort of stayed the course to get here and the Rams got there by sort of rolling the dice and everything. What are your – give me just some of your general thoughts on how both of these teams got here and how they arrive for this game tomorrow.
Well, let's start with this, John. These are two different teams that did it two different ways, just as you alluded to. The New England Patriots started out the year where they, because of the suspension to Julian Edelman, they had trouble getting the football to their receivers. Their guys were not getting open. And so this is a team a lot of people forget. You know, they traded for Josh Gordon. They tried a lot of different things until Edelman got back and the offense started to move. They were playing basically the long game. Let's just make sure and be better by the end of the season. The Rams, I did hear your first segment, losing in the divisional round of the Atlanta Falcons, they realized we're close enough to take a shot. And so when you talk about some of the guys in the league that could be headaches in the league, you know, Ndamukong Suh, we recognized him as being one of the dirtiest players in the league. No one's talking about that anymore. Aqib Talib has been a little bit of an edgy guy. Nobody's talking about that anymore. Marcus Peters got kicked off his college football team, and Kansas City looked at him and said, yeah, you know, we'll definitely move him if somebody wants him. So you're talking about adding these edgy guys, and so now you have this matchup of if you're one of those teams that believes in building for the long haul, well, then you can point to the Patriots. If you're one of those teams that says, I want to take a shot this year, well, then the Rams are your team.
Okay, now you say that the betting line in this game, though, you have a theory on it, and I'm just going to let you run with it because – I'm not sure I necessarily agree with you, but then again, we disagree 5 days a week on lots of things, so I'm going to just let you run with it.
Well, I think Vegas had it right initially. When the Rams were initially a favorite, a small favorite in this game, that line shifted very quickly within about 12 hours to now the Patriots being a 2.5-point favorite. One of the biggest things that Vegas looks at when they start going through and doing their analytical view of teams is points per drive. It's one of my favorite stats in the entirety of the NFL. What it is how many points do you generate every single time you touch the football versus how many do you give up? A team like Kansas City, for as much as they score, they also gave up a ton. So they were not great in points per drive. They were one of those teams where you could say they could be had. Here's how important the stat is. Last year, the Philadelphia Eagles were number two in points per drive. They played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, in that case, New England was number one. The year before, New England was number one in that stat. The Atlanta Falcons were number two. Consistently, the teams that are highly rated in this thing do really well. The Rams are fourth in the league in points per drive. The New England Patriots are seventh. So you are talking about a difference where the Patriots showed themselves to not be an elite football team. The Rams are. Yet the betting line is reflective of here's Tom Brady and here's Bill Belichick. And they have beaten so far teams that have been better than them in points per drive. You know, Kansas City was number two in the league. The Chargers were number five, and the Patriots beat them both.
I'm trying to figure out, though, then how do the Rams win this game? Do they win it with offense, or do they win it with defense?
It's got to be pressure. Every single one of the games where Tom Brady has been beaten in the Super Bowl, it comes back to pressure. Now, 2007-2008 Super Bowl was a different matter. That is when the Giants were just all over the backfield. They ended up sacking Tom Brady five times in that football game. He completed 60% of his passes, but he was just on the ground constantly. A team like the Eagles last year and then even the Giants in 2011, the sack numbers aren't there because Tom Brady gets rid of the football, but the discomfort level was there. Consider this. Tom Brady is a 65% passer for his career. The Eagles held him to 58%. Now, he had crazy numbers because he had to throw the ball the entirety of the time, but he was not his normal efficient self. And so if you're talking about the Rams winning, it is about getting after the quarterback. The one big caveat to all of this, the two quarterbacks who were pressured the least amount in football this year, Andrew Luck, 2% of his dropbacks ended in sacks, and Tom Brady, 3% of his dropbacks ended in sacks. He's very difficult to get to.
Now, Aqib Talib is a guy, as we say, that we've been talking about, that he has absolutely been an incredible addition to that team. But you think tomorrow it could be the difference in this game?
for me, John, he was the X factor against New Orleans. He's the X factor in this football game because of the difference in how the Rams are able to play defense with him on the field. Keep this in mind. When Aqib Talib missed a good amount of basically October, November, and into December this year, the Rams gave up 28 points per game with him not on the field. When he's on the field, they give up 17 points per game. We saw it in the first couple playoff games. Dallas, who was able to get up and down the field a little bit, not a prolific scoring team, but still, they scored 22 points. The Saints, who are a prolific scoring team, nearly 35 points per game, they only got 23 against the Rams. So when you're talking about the importance of Aqib Talib, he is a guy who can make things happen defensively for them. He changes everything they do scheme-wise. And as long as he's healthy and as long as he's playing well, the Rams are a completely different defense to deal with.
Okay, I'm going to talk about this later, but I just want to get your quick thought. Does this change, because we've talked about it on the Atlanta show, does it in any way change your opinion of Tom Brady if he's 5-4 in Super Bowls?
Not at all. This is still a guy that we're talking about 9 Super Bowls in 18 seasons. We will never see this again. It is so incredibly difficult to just get to a Super Bowl, to even make a Super Bowl, you know, 2 times in 10 years. 9-18, I do want to point out, thank you to Buffalo, thank you to Miami, thank you for the ineptitude of the AFC East that does help this, but at the same time, we're never going to see a run like this ever again.
All right, give it to me. You get to expose me one time. I'm not odd, right? I'm not odd. My daughter calling me Sheldon. I'm not odd, right? You work with me every day. You know I'm not odd.
You're not wildly odd, but you have these wild proclivities to you, where you have these weird rules.
Give me one. Give the audience one. Take them behind the curtain. You can do it.
Okay. For instance, one of them where let's say if somebody happens to have a parking ticket, you equate that to like drug running. It's a crime all the way around.
That's terrible. That is terrible. By the way, you parked illegally the other day. Just want to tell you that. All right, buddy. Take care. Thank you, Los. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. There you go. He's Carlos Medina. Follow him at Front Office Los on Twitter. And what I'm going to tell you is this. You'll get linked to his off-season football guide. With the whole Front Office Los thing, his entire obsession, honestly, his season is the off-season even more than the regular season. Even though he's got great numbers and great insights there, during the offseason is where he's at his best, and he'll do a draft guide that involves every single team in the NFL. And an entire offseason guide. There'll be a free agency guide. There'll be everything. Just check it out. Make sure that you're a part of it. You will enjoy it. And I enjoy this. I get reunited with Peter Schwartz today. Peter, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you? Happy Super Bowl weekend.
Thank you very much, man, and good to you. And I'm good to see you getting around. You're feeling good.
I'm doing okay.
You're doing okay.
It's a process.
And how is that process going? For those who don't know, broken hip, right?
Yes, this past July.
Trying to play football with your son.
I wasn't trying. I was actually doing it.
I heard you were trying. I heard you were trying. Don't give yourself too much credit.
I caught a pass. I started to run. I felt it go, and I went down, and I realized very quickly I should just maintain writing and talking about football as opposed to playing it. I'll leave that up to my kids.
Are you a possession tight end? I mean, is that way, or would you be a blocking tight end? Really, let's be honest.
I'm gonna maintain what I was supposed to be that day, and that was the official quarterback for both of my kids. It was two hand touch, and I had the genius idea to call for a flea flicker. So I had my younger son Jared flip the ball back to me.
Oh, geez.
Flip the ball back to my son Jared, and I went out for the pass.
Oh boy!
Sucked Bradley in to go after Jared, and Jared threw it over his head. I caught the ball, and then I started to run, and then all hell broke loose. So,
you see, that's where you get into trouble. You're like Jared Lorenzen back there as a quarterback for both of these teams.
But I'm at 6 months into rehab. It's a year full for recovery, but I'm getting around. You know, I'm working. I'm doing what I got to do.
Great doctors, right? Great
excellent
rehab personnel that have helped
doctors.
You out.
Everything is going great. Everything is actually on or ahead of schedule, so we're doing good. The plan is to go back to the scene of the crime at the one-year mark and finish the play so I can get into the end zone. But I'm going to walk across the goal line, not run.
Okay, here's the plan, though. You have to get everybody up to date on everything they may have missed last night
and what we're
looking for the rest of the show. So we're going to get to that. And Peter Schwartz is going to do that for you, which is absolutely awesome. We got a lot of stuff coming up, including guy I was able to reunite with this week in person here in Atlanta, Ross Tucker. and you love him from SiriusXM's NFL. I'm going to ask Ross what he thinks about how both of these teams got here and which one's going to be better 2 years from now. We'll get to that next. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. It's our Super Bowl 53 special.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio, our Super Bowl 53 special. Yeah, I'm still looking for that control panel. Tom Brady leading the Patriots to their third straight Super Bowl against a young team and quarterback and Jared Goff and the Rams. Super Bowl Today team is on site with JB, Phil, Coach, Nate, and Boomer, covering every angle before kickoff. Coverage beginning at 2 Eastern on CBS. That is tomorrow, 11 Pacific. You're going to have a great, great time hanging out Super Bowl Sunday with the crew from CBS. Really, really good. Really been a good time this week. And I can't get over how much just absolute the NFL takes over a metropolis, takes over a community. It's been incredible. And it's been a great week, too, by the way. So things really went well for the NFL this week and became very excitable. You know, fans very excited. People being very, all excited all together. And it was awesome the way this whole week came together. Efforting Ross Tucker right now. He says he says he's ready. He's texting me that he's ready, Tom. So he says he's ready. Maybe it's a different phone number. I don't know. But he says he's ready to go. We'll get to that. Before we get to that, there is again the betting line, and we'll talk about this later on with the man who has won the super contest twice. The only two-time winner of the super contest. And he is going to give you some ideas about this, you know, this whole line and how this thing goes down. The 2.5-point line sticking this week is very odd. Is extremely odd. I thought for sure we were going to see a line that bounced around. We were going to see a line where the public started to feel one way over the other and there tended to be a storyline pushed. It's been a really quiet week. And everybody's sort of standing on both sides of it, trying to figure out where to go. I have a feeling there's going to be some sort of a blink in the line, but I don't believe the line's ever going to get to 3. Don't think it's ever getting to 3. We're not going to see that. Because then Vegas has to give everybody's money back depending on how things went. Depending on how they went, that's what we're going to have to give it all back. Brian, I'm going to take people behind the curtain a little bit here. Do you need me to do anything to get in touch with Ross? Okay, good. We got it now. There we go. Just want to make sure it was I think I misplanted a number there. So Ross Tucker from SiriusXM joins us live in Atlanta, in my town. Have you enjoyed your week in Atlanta, Ross?
I really, really have, John. It's been awesome. It's a great city. I've had a blast. Now, I will say this, you know, when my radio show starts at 6 a.m., and I'm actually staying out by the airport, so I've been getting up at 4 and getting down the radio row by 5:20.
Sure.
And then I've gone out every night. So it's been Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday so far. I'm going to sleep a lot on Monday, like a lot, because I still have a radio show to do today. I've got 2 or 3 parties to try to get to tonight, and then the game tomorrow, and then Monday I'll probably try to recuperate a little bit. But that's what Super Bowl week's all about, man.
It is, and believe me, as feeling, can I feel any more old than going to Shaq's Funhouse last night? And just, I'm not up for late nights. I can just tell you that. It's not my thing. I want to ask you, what do you most admire about how the Rams got here and how the Patriots got here?
Well, two things, I guess, jump out to me. Number one would be the fact that they were able to win in two of the toughest places to play in the NFL. You know, I was there on the sideline when the Eagles played the Saints, in the divisional round. And, I mean, John, my head hurt for like 3 days. It's crazy, crazy loud. And for the Rams to be able to go there and from down 13-0 to come back and win that game, that was really impressive. I was really impressed by that. And then for the Patriots, I was on the sideline in Arrowhead. Arrowhead is the loudest outdoor venue I've ever been, by a lot. I mean, I play
by a lot. You don't even put it close. It's by a lot.
I think so. Now, in fairness, when I played in Seattle, we beat them pretty good. When I played in Kansas City, we got beat pretty good. So I think sometimes that has a little bit to do with your how you feel about the noise. So I think both these teams winning on the road says a lot. And the other thing is, like, what do you think I'm going to say? I mean, I'm an offensive lineman, and you've got two offensive lines playing extremely well. I mean, what the Rams did to the Cowboys defense in the divisional round, you just don't see that in the NFL. And then they didn't have quite as much success against New Orleans. New Orleans did some things schematically to try to slow down the zone rushing attack. But I still thought that the Rams got the better of that game in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And I felt the same way about the Patriots. You know, we all know how important the quarterback position is and head coach and all of that stuff. But if you look, I'm not sure there's been a playoff game yet where if you looked at it, you wouldn't say that the team that played better up front didn't win the game. The thing is, though, it's not always predictive. Like, some of the times I thought it'd be one team. Like, I thought it'd be the Ravens against the Chargers in the wild card.
So did
I. That was not the case. So you don't always know who it's going to be. You just know. And a lot of times you can tell kind of early. Maybe not in that Saints-Rams game, but I like knowing that the big boys still matter. And it almost feels like, John, they're starting to matter more than they used to again.
It's nice to see. I mean, teams building around those offensive lines and investing in the lines of scrimmage, you don't see that much. Do you think the Rams are, like, let's say the Rams do hoist a Lombardi trophy tomorrow. From the way they're built and some of the short-term decisions that they made, do you see it as a long-term sustainable model, or do you see this as a great season?
I don't think it's a long-term sustainable model because they're going to have to give Jared Goff $30 million a year in a year or two here. And so you can't bring in Sue on that kind of one-year deal or a guy like Aqib Talib or some of these guys, Brandon Cooks, some of these guys that they brought in. You know, you're just not going to be able to do that once Goff is making the real money, right? The big
sure.
money. It's just not going to be feasible. I think it was smart for them to do it this year. But if you look, you know how you can roll over salary cap space?
Yes.
They have the least rollover in the league. You know, like Eagles, everybody's rolling over $3 million, $5 million, whatever. The Rams have $477,000 of cap space to roll over. I mean, they have totally maxed out this year. And I think it's smart. I think it's a couple of things. Number one, it's the golf window. And number two, they wanted to make sure they won L.A. You know, they knew the Chargers were coming. They wanted to win L.A. And guess what? Based on all my buddies that live out there, they have. My buddies are from Chicago and Detroit or whatever. I play with them in college. They're letting their kids be Rams fans. Nobody even knows the Chargers are there. I mean, it's the Rams are winning the race in L.A., and it's not even close.
If Brady and Belichick get beaten tomorrow, what's the headline on Monday? What was the storyline? How did it happen?
I think the only way that happens is if the Rams get the better of them up front. You know, the storyline, if that happens, is the Patriots can't run the ball, and Ndamukong Suh and Dante Fowler win their one-on-ones because the Patriots aren't going to let Aaron Donald do that. They're just not. They're not going to let Aaron Donald beat them. So it would be Ndamukong Suh and Dante Fowler play sort of the Justin Tuck OCU Mignora or Fletcher Cox Brandon Graham role, if you will, and figure out a way to get pressure on Brady. And they win that battle. And then, you know, obviously Jared Goff's going to have to make some throws like Nick Foles and Eli Manning did. I mean, we know what you have to do. You have to have your quarterback make some really clutch throws, and your D-line has to stop the run and get after Tom.
That's what you got to do. I mean, in this this coaching matchup, I mean, much is being made of Sean McVay. I mean, I told you earlier in the week, he was the last state championship-winning quarterback at my daughter's high school here in Atlanta. They're really loving him at Marist, the photographic memory and everything. But he's going to have to do some – he's going to have to go outside, surprise Bill Belichick a little bit tomorrow, right? He's got to find some way to surprise him.
I think so. And you know what's interesting about it too, John, is, you know, it's really early. But if McVay gets one at 33, well, then who knows? You know, I mean, he's half Belichick's age. So if he gets a Super Bowl at 33 and they got some good pieces there, I mean, to think that anybody could duplicate what the Patriots have done is probably foolhardy, but I don't know. I mean, if anybody can do it, it probably would be him. It probably would be McVay at 33 getting number one under his belt.
Okay, now let me just know that with you being away all week and your bride's at home with the kids and we got Valentine's Day right around the corner, you probably could be in the doghouse depending on, you know, just as far as the amount of time you're away. You have an idea, though, for guys out there that might be spending too much time with football in order to make it up. You know, that this is a great idea.
And John, it's the best Valentine's Day gift I've ever heard of. It's called myfrontpagestory.com. It's crazy easy. These are reporters that write stories about anything you want. So you buy a story about your wife. They call you. You talk to them for 10 minutes on the phone while you're driving to Chick-fil-A or something. They write the story. They send it to you. You frame it. And then Valentine's Day, you hand it to your wife and say, hey, babe, I had a story written about you. Tell me that's not the best, most unique, coolest thing you could ever say to your wife on Valentine's Day. I had a story written about you and how special you are. Myfrontpagestory.com.
Oh, that is awesome. You're such a good guest. I think I may have one written for you. I'm not framing it, though. Thanks, Ross. Enjoy Atlanta. There you go, buddy.
All right. Take care.
Take care, buddy. Ross Tucker. You can catch him on SiriusXM, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and more. And that's a great idea, too. That's a really great idea. Not that I won't be stealing it, because I promise you I will be. Maybe for Mother's Day this year, my daughter can use that for Christina and get something nice. Hopefully you're going to enjoy the entire build-up to Super Bowl 53. We are only 1 hour in to the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl 53 special. And we've got lots more guests that will join us throughout the course of the day trying to give you insights. And my whole idea today is to give you a lot of different perspectives, and that maybe somebody will change your mind or make you think something a little bit differently than you did about going into this game. One thing we do know, history tells us a Patriots Super Bowl is going to be a great game. It's going to be like a great game every time. The Patriots Super Bowls are the most must-see TV Super Bowls out there. And sometimes that's a credit to them. Sometimes that's a credit to the Giants and the Eagles and other performances that sort of steal the show. But one thing you know, a Patriots Super Bowl is usually a four-hour affair. And if you're pissed about Maroon 5, seriously, get a laxative. You got too many things to worry about in your life. Coming up, if it's this guy's last time, I want to write a love letter to him. Second hour of the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl 53 special comes your way live from Atlanta next on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.